Good morning. So great to see everyone here gathered together. It's always very exciting to be together as a church, worshiping God and our living Savior Jesus Christ. That's just always a thrill and just so humbling for us to be here together. And if you are here as a guest, we are excited and thankful that you have chosen to worship with us this morning, and we would love to have a record of you being here. We have guest cards that are located right in front of you, and if you could fill one of those out and place it in the offering plate, we would have a record of your attendance with us this morning. I actually have several announcements this morning, so get your pen and paper out. I've gotten several things to make sure we're all on the same page about, because it's the beginning of summer, so it's that time of year where many things are happening in short periods of time. So I want to make sure everyone's aware. First things, right after service, if we could have a few people come down front right here. Mark Jackson's going to help direct how we can move things and get ready for the children's spring program tonight. And that starts at 7 o'clock, so we hope to see everyone out for that. Also, this Wednesday is the last meeting for RAs and GAs from 7 to 8. It will be the water night, so make sure you wear something you can get wet. It's supposed to be perfect weather for that as well. WMU leaders and teachers meeting Wednesday the 29th for a salad supper at 6 p.m. in the Fellowship Hall. And just a quick note, nothing's wrong about picking up two paintings that are in the Fellowship Hall, but if you happen to pick up two paintings that were in the Fellowship Hall, you might know what I'm talking about if you did. If you could just bring them back in here, they were for two different families, so they just probably were misplaced somewhere, and we're looking for two paintings that were picked up accidentally in the Fellowship Hall. One other announcement I have, the children's retreat that will be August 10th and 11th, we have little brochures for this. We'll be spending one night in Wrightsville Beach. The brochures are out here in the atrium. Make sure you pick one of those up and look at the dates where everything needs to be turned in for that as well. And Graduate Sunday is just 2 weeks away, so make sure all the information is in for Graduate Sunday. Now we can breathe, and now we can be ready for worship. Are there any other announcements before we begin our worship service? Let's bow our heads now. God, we come before you, and it's easy to see how many things can happen, how calendars can be full, and, Lord, how schedules can be busy. But, Lord, we come before you praying that they are fruitful times in our lives, to be together, to be busy at work for you and your kingdom and all that we do. Everything that's before us today and this week, may it be all for your glory. May you guide us. May you move through us, showing us how to always be mindful of loving you with our heart and our soul and our mind. And God, this morning as we have come to worship you, may it change us to be ready to love others as you love them this week. In your Son's holy name we pray. Amen. Let's prepare our hearts for worship this morning.
Thank you. Angel Choir, they'll be singing tonight, as well as the children's choir. We hope that you'll come out and be a part of this service and encourage our children. That was very good. Y'all are some singing children. I'd like for you to turn to page 205. Put your bulletin in there. We're going to sing that. After we sing page 203, page 203 repeats the first two lines, but we actually only do the song once, and then we do 205 once as well. Let's all stand.
Good morning. So great to see all of you here this morning. You sounded wonderful this morning. I can't wait to hear Instruments of Christ sing as well. I love coming down at the beginning of our worship service and seeing what God's up to. It's always exciting to see what He has to say to us. And you know how I usually like to start things off? I like to get you thinking a little bit and talking a little bit, okay? So I'm going to show you two things, and I want you to tell me what you think these two things mean, or where would you usually find these two things. Where would you find this? A birthday party, right? We have a present and a cake, a picture of a cake. I wish it could have been a real one, right? But it might have been a little messy, so we didn't want to bring that in right now. But I have a cake and a present here, so you might usually find that at a birthday, right? Well, this morning we're actually going to celebrate a birthday. And no, not quite the birth of Lillian yet, but a birthday of the church, and not our church, the whole church. And what I mean by that is all Christians. You see, you remember not too long ago, not many weeks ago, we were celebrating Easter and how wonderful it was to know that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead after dying on the cross, right? And we know that Jesus has kept all His promises. And this morning, we're going to read an Acts about another promise that He kept. Because before He went to heaven to be with God after Easter, after He was raised from the dead, He told us that He was going to send a helper. He was going to send the Holy Spirit to help guide us. And we're going to read about that in Acts chapter 2. It says, when the day of Pentecost came, that's what we're celebrating today, that's the birthday of the church, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, like a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ's promise came true. The Helper came to help guide us to love God and love other people. So I want us to remember this morning as we celebrate the birthday of the church, Pentecost, that Jesus Christ always keeps His promises. Okay? Let's pray about that. God, thank You so much for always keeping your promises. We know that you will always love us, and we are so thankful that you help us remember that and help us love other people. In your son's name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, I'll see y'all next week, okay?
As they are returning to their seats, I want to add my appreciation for the music this morning and the music that is to come and the music tonight. I know that we will be blessed by that. Let me invite you to open your bulletins. You'll see our prayer concerns. I've got some names I'd like to add to the prayer concerns this morning. Of course, we do want to continue to remember the Yarborough family. Archie passed away. We want to keep him in our prayers. And also the Hayden Luxton family. We want to keep that family in our prayers. But I was talking with Jerry Moss. He was here just a moment ago, but Jerry was in the hospital this past Friday with a kidney stone and still dealing with that. We want to keep him in our prayers. And I understand that Ernestine Bridges got too close to poison ivy. I get a little itchy when I say poison ivy, so we want to be remembering her. And then also, I was given the name of Christy Wilder. That is the daughter of Danny and Debbie Wilder. She is at Cape Fear Valley in Fayetteville in renal failure and has been there for 6 days. We want to keep that family in our prayers in just a very, very special way as we continue to remember them. You never would say to your associate pastor you're sorry to see him in church today, but I was sorry to see him here. We know Lauren probably by the end of this week, if the baby has not come, they will induce labor, so we want to keep her in our prayers in a very special way. We are excited about what God is up to, but we want to pray for Lauren especially. Ladies, you know more about that than I do. I only know vicariously. We're ready for the baby to be born, and so we want to keep her in our prayers as well. The prayer list, our divine assignment. Our divine assignment. Would you pray with me? God, each name listed on this list is significant to you and significant to us. You created each person. You had a plan and a purpose for their life. And now as they face difficulties, families that may be grieving, people who may be facing difficult physical circumstances, God, remind us of your love and care. And as we lift these with these circumstances that do not surprise you, but Lord, we lift them now to your care as you have taught us and told us to do, for there is power in prayer. And so now we unite our hearts together and we lift these that we have mentioned and these on this list to you and ask, oh God, that you might bless them as you know there is need. And we thank you even now for doing so. On this Pentecost Sunday, Lord, we are grateful for your love and goodness to us and how that Spirit that rushed out on that day continues to rush out on every willing heart who is open and available to accept it. Help us to be open and available as we worship you, your precious and holy name. In Jesus' name we pray.
by two, they came into the ark until finally all the animals and birds were aboard. My family and I then joined them for the voyage into a brand new world, a fresh start. Of course, I know now what I didn't know then. The ark represents Jesus Christ, our Savior. Only by placing our faith in Jesus can we be spared when judgment comes at the end of the age. Listen to what Jesus said in Matthew 24. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, up to the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. That is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. There you have it, in Jesus' own words. Just as people were unprepared for the judgment at the time of the flood, there will be those who are unprepared for Jesus' return. The message of Noah's Ark is this: don't wait until it's too late. Receive the love and forgiveness of Jesus now, while there's still time. Two by two, we came into the ark. But today, people receive salvation by faith in Christ, not two by two, but one by one.
One by one.
Thank you, Instruments of Christ. We have such a good musical. Captain Noah and the Zoo Cruise for Twos. I think you'll want to come and see the message or hear the message and see the children perform. It's a great musical, and I think you'll receive a blessing from it. Page 206, Blessed Be the Name. Let's all stand.
Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing, blessed be the name of the Lord. Thank you.
Our dear and most gracious Heavenly Father, we give thanks for all the many blessings you have given to us and done for us. Please guide, lead, and direct us. Be with those in need. We ask that you accept and bless these tithes and offerings to be used for thy will and service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, choir. Indeed, worthy, worthy is your name. What a powerful song. And for the instruments of Christ and angel choir, I'm looking forward again tonight to your hard work. I got a note that Alice Davis is here, and I am looking at her. Hey, Alice. I was kind of hoping you were still in Zephyr Hills. I hear they won a ticket there, you know, from your grocery store. And I thought, well, you know, if Alice got that, I was hoping to win that $590 million. Now, I wasn't going to buy a ticket. But I don't think the odds are much greater of just finding the winning ticket than they are buying the winning ticket. So I was just hoping. I've been looking as I've been riding this week for, I lost a hubcap. You find a Toyota hubcap. I found one. It wasn't mine. But if you find one, I was looking for lottery tickets and that, and I didn't find either one so far. We're glad you're here, Alice. We are glad you're here. Let me invite you to open your Bibles to 2 Chronicles, the 7th chapter. We're going to begin a series on this verse. It's an interesting verse of Scripture. Let me give us just a little bit of history. In chapter 3, Solomon has built the temple from God. He has, in chapters 4 and 5, he has dedicated everything, all the things that God had told David that would be in the temple, but David wasn't given the blessing to build the temple, but Solomon was. And so when all was ready, and it was time to dedicate the temple, King Solomon stood and in chapter 6 offers a prayer. And it's a prayer of life, and it's a prayer that I think you and I can connect to. Because in the prayer he says, "And God, when things go bad, we're going to remember you're in the temple. When the rain doesn't come, we're going to remember to look to the temple. When pestilence comes," and in the agricultural world, that was devastating. That's like the recession of 2007. "We're going to remember to look to the temple. And when sin," and Solomon says, and we're all sinners, and isn't he right? "And when sin comes and you send us off into captivity because of our disobedience, we're going to remember to look to the temple. We're going to look to where you are, O God. We're going to keep the idea that you were in the ark and you were traveling with us, but now that you've brought us to the promised land and we have built the temple and you are going to abide in the temple, we will look to you," is what he says. "We will look to you, O God." And in chapter 7, it says, after Solomon had finished that prayer, that fire came down from heaven as God's affirmation and consumed the offering that was being offered to him, kind of like Elijah on Mount Carmel with the prophets of Baal. And God gives a word to the children of Israel in that ancient time. And he gives a word to you and to me in our time. It is a powerful word. He says, "Yes, Solomon, you're right. There will be time when there's no rain," in verse 13, "and the locusts will come and there'll be pestilence." But then he gives us verse 14, our text, in the beginning of a series. Verse 14. If you're able, would you stand as we read just one verse? "If my people," "if my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven. I will forgive their sin and heal their land. The word of God for the people of God, blessed be the Lord. Would you pray with me? God, would you speak to us for a moment today about people of the name? People who are called by you to be your people. That's us, O Lord. We are your people in the midst of all your people. We're your called people. We're your priesthood people. We're your special folks to share with others how they can become special folks in the kingdom. Help us to do well. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I'd invite you to turn in your hymn book. We are called to be God's people, page 390, and mark that there. That is our prayer of invitation. And one name I meant to mention during our prayer concerns, let me mention, it's on our prayer list. Roy Smith had a heart catheterization stent put in this week. Please keep him in your prayers. Today we're going to just look at the first part of our text. If my people call by my name. That's it. And that's enough. That's a big assignment. It's an important assignment because names are important. Paul Dickerson wrote a book, What is in a Name? And in that book, he shared some unusual names. I heard one person say he could add it was about a minister in Michigan whose last name was Oder. Isn't that a terrible last name? O-D-E-R, Oder. And maybe his parents just weren't thinking because they gave him the name of Ivan. Ivan Oder. He goes by adding his middle initial, Ivan C. Oder. Sounds a whole lot better than I have an Oder, doesn't it? Well, there were some that maybe their name helped them to be destined to what they became. Like Joe Bunt became a lifelong baseball coach. And Daniel Druff, and they shortened his name, of course, to Dan, so that would be Dandruff. He became a barber. Two men whose last name, seriously, was Go Forth and Ketchum, K-A-T-C-H-U-M, actually became partners on the police force. So they were Go Forth and Ketchum. Isn't that a great name? Makes good sense, doesn't it? How would you feel about a contractor whose name was Will Crumble? Now, that just wouldn't be the kind of guy I'd want to build my house, Will Crumble. And I've heard on channel 680 WPTF, there's an insurance salesman. He may be the best. I don't know anything about it, but his last name is Cheatham, and I'm just not sure about that. What's in a name? My people. And he adds, who are called by my name. By my name. We remember the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Names in ancient times are even more important than they are today. And what God was saying to the children of Israel is, I have called you with a special calling. Church, God has called us with a special calling. And he wants to remind us of our family name, that we belong to him. I want us to look at three C's this morning. The first one is that word if, but I don't want to use if. I want to use the word choice. You see, God is saying, if you do something, then I'll do this. But you know, that's what's called a conditional statement, an if-then statement. That means if you do this, I'll do that. But what does that also mean? If you don't do that, then I won't do this. It's a conditional statement. So today you and I are given a choice, aren't we? A young man had been promoted to an important position in his company, and he never dreamed at such a young age he would be given such responsibility. And he was concerned about it because it had great, great responsibilities. And so he went to one of the older gentlemen in the firm and he said, could you just give me some advice? I'm a little concerned. And the fellow said two words, right decisions. Right decisions. That's always good. We could just quit right now. I could just say, church, make right decisions, and we could go home. Well, the young man was appreciative, and he says, thank you, that's really helpful, but could you be a little bit more specific? How do I make right decisions? It's a valid question, isn't it? And a question we all need to ask today. One word, the experienced gentleman replied. Experience. Right decisions. How do I get there? Experience. Well, that's just the point, sir. I don't know that I have the kind of experience that I need. How do I get it? To which the gentleman replied, two words. Wrong decisions. Wrong decisions. Let me ask us, people of the name, people who've been given the holiest name on earth, Christ, Christian, little Christ, have we made some wrong decisions? Have we made some wrong choices? We understand that if you will be my people, then I will be your God. That's expounded over and over and over in the book of Exodus as Moses brings the children out and God says over and over again, you be my people, and if you be my people, if you'll be obedient, if you'll follow these commands, if you'll do what I want, if you'll make right decisions about me, then I'll be your God. I'll make everything different. Billy Graham said, the strongest principle of life and blessing lie in our choices. Our life is the sum result of all the choices we make, consciously and unconsciously. Listen to that one more time. Our life is the sum result of all the choices we make, consciously and unconsciously. If we can control the process of choosing, then we can take control of all the aspects of our life. We can find the freedom that comes by being in charge. So start with the right rather than what is acceptable. You know, there's a lot in America today that's acceptable, isn't there? There's an awful lot that is now okay in America, but it's not right. And that Holy Spirit that dwells in us, we know it's not right. We hear things on TV, we know it's not right. We hear language on TV. We know it's not right. We see actions on TV. The Holy Spirit screams in our heart with that still small voice, it's not right. But we have to make choices, don't we? Every day. If my people. If's a big two-letter word, isn't it? Our walk with God is shaped by many, many, many small choices. And very few big choices. In fact, you can almost count the big choices on one hand, maybe two. To accept Him as Lord and Savior, that's a big one. Walking down the aisle in affirmation of that and becoming a member of the church, that's a big one. Accepting some specific call for our life, that's a big one. But how many times yesterday did we make little choices? Did we make little decisions? 100? Maybe you slept in. You only made 50. But 50 little choices, whether to pray or not to pray, whether to open God's Word or not open God's Word, whether to help a person or not to help a person, whether to spend our time selfishly or selflessly, we make those little choices, don't we? They're just little choices. They're by themselves, one of them by itself is probably not really significant at all. But if Billy Graham was right, it's the cumulative effect of all those little choices. If my people. I read a story about a lady that was trying to get to Denver. She was crossing the mountains and the snow was just pouring so hard. And she didn't know when all of a sudden, out of the corner of her eye, she glimpsed a snowplow. And she thought, oh boy, I've got it now. So she wheeled right in behind that snowplow and she just followed. She just followed the snowplow. She didn't understand the route she was going, but she could hardly see the snowplow. She couldn't see anymore, so she just stayed behind the snowplow, it seemed. They turned right, and then they turned right again, and then they turned right again, and she didn't know what was happening, but she was in the mountains, and it was a snowplow, and she couldn't see, so follow the leader. After a few minutes, the operator snowplow stopped the snowplow, got out and went back to the lady. He said, "Ma'am, where are you going?" She said, "I'm going to Denver." He says, "Well, ma'am, you're never going to get there following me. I'm plowing my driveway, you see?" And she's just following him around the circle. Who are we following? Oh, they're plowing. Man, they're making progress. Look at that. They're successful. But are they going around in circles? Are they going anywhere? Are they headed in the right direction? If my people, what a big choice. Secondly, the second C, one is choice, the second C is community. My people. This was in a tract by Zondervan in 1999. I don't know if the numbers are right, but it makes a point. So hear the point and don't get lost on the numbers. It says 10% of church members cannot be found. 20% of church members never attend church. 25 admit that they never pray. 35 admit that they do not read their Bibles. 40% admit that they never contribute to the church, tithe or offering. 60% never give to missions. 70% never assume responsibility in the church. 80% never invite anyone to church. 90% have never won anyone to Christ, but 100% expect to go to heaven. Anybody here say, "Yeah, I'm a Christian, but I really don't expect to go to heaven"? And yet, where do we fall on all those little decisions? We're part of a community. The church is more than just a name. You don't join the church, you join the community. To join the church and not come would be like to buy a house in a community and not live in it. It just doesn't really make sense. I've heard all my life, well, can't you be a Christian and not attend church? Y'all ever heard that? You ever had that question raised in your presence? You don't have to join the church to be a Christian. Boy, that's a tremendous story that's being purported in our nation today, isn't it? As we have moved so far from God. So far from God. Well, let me give you my answer on that. 99.999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999 I left some turning room for some very rare circumstances, like a thief hanging on a cross by Christ. I left some turning room. But the Bible says that Christ said he loved the church and he gave himself up for it. This is a community of faith, and it is where we best express God. We're not perfect. My goodness, there's room for improvement. But yes, you must be a part of the community of faith to be a part of the community of heaven in all practical purposes. If my people who are called by my name are part of that community, the last C is called by God's name. Called by God's name. Most often in the Old Testament, it's the word Yahweh. The word we get Jehovah from. But God had many names. Elohim, Adonai, I. Do we know God's name? Oh yeah, it's God. In ancient times, a name was one's personality. It was a reflection of who one was. Do we know who God is? It's easy to get distracted, isn't it? I heard a story about there was a church, a 200-year-old church that was being ready for the anniversary, and they had a series of bells that they rang, and suddenly at this prominent point, the bell ringer had family that got sick out of town and had to leave, and so immediately the custodian, the sexton, as he was called, began to try to find another, and finally a replacement arrived, and the sexton was showing him the steps to the bell towers way up, and as they rounded and went, and just when they reached the top, the new bell ringer tripped and went face first into the biggest bell and just smacked himself almost unconsciously and fell down the steps all the way down to the ground. The sexton went down and had already called for 911 because figuring he must be dead. But when they got there, the guy was really miraculously was unhurt but just kind of shaken. And so the rescuer looked at him and said, "Can you tell me what his name is?" And the sexton said, "No, but his face sure does ring a bell." Sorry about that. Does God's name ring a bell in our life? Or must we plow face first into life and be smacked almost unconsciously before we remember that we are people who are called by His name? We are His people. Called people are changed people. Their life is different. Their world is different. They think differently. Let me end this morning with another story. It's the mother of a 9-year-old boy named Mark. And the mom gets a phone call from the teacher at her son's school. Now, usually these aren't very good, are they, Lauren? "Miss Smith, something unusual happened today in your son's third grade class. Remember, called people are changed people. Your son did something that surprised me so much, I thought I needed to call you and tell you immediately." The mom began to grow a little weary. The teacher continued, "Nothing like this has ever happened in all my years of teaching." And then she tells this story. "This morning I was teaching a lesson on creative writing. As I always do, I tell the story of the ant and the grasshopper. The ant works hard all summer and stores up plenty of food, but the grasshopper plays all summer and does no work. The winter comes. The grasshopper begins to starve because he has no food. So he begins to beg, 'Please, Mr. Ant, you have so much food. Please let me eat too.' Then I said," the teacher, "'Boys and girls, your job is to write the ending of this story.' Your son Mark raised his hand. 'Teacher, may I draw a picture?' 'Well, yes, Mark, if you like, you can draw a picture, but you first have to write the end of the story.'" The teacher's dialogue continues. "As in all the years past, most of the students said the ant shared his food through the winter, and both the ant and the grasshopper lived. A few children wrote, 'No, Mr. Grasshopper, you should have worked in the summer. Now I have just enough food for myself.' So the ant lived and the grasshopper died. But your son, called people, are changed people. Your son ended the story in a different way from any other child I've ever had. He wrote, Mark wrote, 'So the ant gave all his food to the grasshopper, and the grasshopper lived through the winter, but the ant died.' And at the bottom of his writing, he drew a picture of the cross." He drew a picture. He drew a picture, because called people are changed people, of the cross. If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear their prayers and heal their land. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, make me like Mark. Remind me that greater love hath no one than this, than he laid down his life for his friends. Remind me that, God, you so loved the world that you gave us your son, the ant, who died on Calvary's cross that we might have life and have it everlasting. Help me to answer the choice if, Lord, make me different by your grace, that I might share the difference with people who need grace. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Our closing hymn is page 390. This morning, if God is speaking to your heart and you need to make some decision for him, then our opportunity is now. The time to make a choice is now. If my people, called by my name, what's God saying to you? Would we respond as we stand together?
need some help putting up our stage for the service tonight.